What up, everybody? Welcome into Locked On Warriors. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. The Dubs get a big win this weekend against Philly. Couple of MRIs going down. Some good news on both of them. And the Dubs getting pretty close to filling that 15th roster spot with a familiar face. All that coming up next here on Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What up, everybody? Welcome into Locked On Warriors. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. What's happening? The Dubs get a big win against Philly on Saturday night. And yeah, I think it was big. I definitely think it was big, especially after losing three of their last four and four of their last six. And not just because of the opponent and all that stuff, but because they were losing ground on the one seed. I mean, the Nuggets were half a game behind them for the one seed. And now it's, I believe, 1.5 game, so still not a ton of distance, but adding to it and at least didn't give up the one seed. But going into Philly, beating a team like the Sixers without Klay Thompson, it's good stuff. Sixers obviously were down Joel Embiid, so, I mean, whatever, both teams can, oh, well, we didn't have our guy, whatever. It still came down to, you know, 48 minutes of basketball. And the Warriors, it was a mixed bag, for sure. Kevin Durant played a great game. He played a great first quarter, too. Helped carry the Warriors throughout the first. Steph, solid in the first. 3 of 6 from the field, 3 of 4 from three. He, throughout the game, it felt like he was settling for threes. And I know, he's Steph Curry, who cares if he's settling? They just weren't falling. Again, they just weren't falling. He's been, I don't know, slumping strong, but he was 5 of 14 from three. And that's kind of been standard over the last week or so. I wouldn't be surprised if we see him get some rest somewhere coming up. Not exactly sure where, because they got some tough games coming up. Obviously playing the Celtics on Tuesday night on TNT. So he will not be resting for that one. Steve Kerr did mention some players are going to be out for that. We'll get to that a little later. It looks like Phoenix, March 10th, will be the first game that he'll probably get some rest. But they did have 2 days off between the Philly game and the Boston game. And then they'll have 2 days off between Boston and Denver. And then I would expect them to rest on the 10th against Phoenix, because then they take on Houston on the 13th, and then OKC, and then San Antonio, and then Minnesota, and then Indy, and then Dallas, and Detroit. So, tough schedule coming up. I mean, that's part of today's NBA, though, especially the Western Conference, is there aren't a lot of layups. I mean, there's Phoenix. And the Lakers can tell you they're not a layup. Hello. Oh, man. Well, I'll get to that in a little bit, too, but I'm feeling good. Feeling pretty good. So, back to the Philly game. With Klay Thompson out, they started Alphonso McKinney, who again didn't do much. He did actually leave at halftime with a hip strain, I think it was. And that opened the door for Damian Lee to come in and get some minutes. And Damian Lee came in and he was great. He went 4 of 5 from three, had 12 points, and gave him a boost that they sorely needed. I mean, we saw him do it earlier in the year too. And after watching that, you're thinking, oh, you know, maybe this guy could be our 15th roster spot. You know, maybe he could be the guy that could come in and knock down some threes. And we'll get to that a little later, but it doesn't seem likely at this moment. They opened the game with three straight just clanks, just absolute misses. The Warriors did. It was not a good look. Gave up a bunch of wide open threes, and that's something I'm going to get to a little more because it kind of pertains directly to DeMarcus Cousins, at least in this situation. Fouling like crazy, getting out-hustled. I mean, it feels like the hustle thing has been all year. Like, I don't feel like they've made a single hustle play in, you know, what, 63 games or whatever it is. KD came out in the third, had a monster third quarter. The Warriors were down going into half 11 points. Excuse me, 12 points going into half. 67 to 55. It got ugly in the second quarter. It got ugly in the second because Steph, yeah, he did put up 14 in the half, but not on great numbers and not in the second quarter. In the second quarter, he went 2 for 7, 0 for 4 from 3. No one really played well in that second quarter. Yeah, I mean, no one really did. So that got him down 12. Down 12 going into the second half. Mike Scott hadn't really done what he was going to do yet, which was rather impressive. Jonah Bolden did knock down a couple threes. And that's what I wanted to get to with DeMarcus was, look, DeMarcus Cousins had another great game. He put up 25 and 8, his third straight 20-point game, and we're starting to see what we wanted to see from him, kind of who he was before. And, I mean, that's strong because he's probably never going to get back to what he was before because of age, because of the injury, all that stuff. But his touch around the rim, that we knew that was going to come back eventually, and we're starting to see that. The shooting, the jump shot still hasn't been there, which is a little surprising because I figured that would be one of the things that would make it through all the rehab and stuff because he had been able to shoot for the longest amount of time. Just wasn't able to do all the other basketball activities. But we're starting to see him finish around the rim, see that touch, some of the moves on in the post, some of his drives too. He did have a sequence where I think he had like three straight buckets, driving dunk. All that stuff is great, but the problem was on the defensive end, he was getting torched, and not in the traditional way. He was getting torched in the fact that since they didn't have Joel Embiid and didn't have Boban Marjanovic, who was also hurt, they had guys like Jonah Bolden and Mike Scott playing the five, who are Bolden. You can make the argument he could play some five. Mike Scott, not so much. I mean, he's a power forward at best. And like a modern-day power forward. Not a, you know, 6'11". He's like 6'8", 230. And a stretch four at that. So DeMarcus Cousins was able to get his. But these guys, Jonah Bolden, who can shoot threes, more than capable, and Mike Scott, who is basically a three-point specialist, were knocking down threes, wide open threes, because DeMarcus Cousins either couldn't or wouldn't get out there to defend. And the problem with that is, it's one thing if you're out there and getting crossed up and the guy's making moves on you to knock down threes. It's another when you're just not there, when you just don't have the positional awareness to be there to defend it. And that's basically what happened throughout the game. I think the guys, Jonah Bolden and Mike Scott together, hit 9 threes. They went 9 of 13 from 3. Mike Scott had 22 points. He went 6-9 from 3, 7-15 from the field. So that is a problem. And it's more of a problem just for this game, honestly. I mean, unless they end up facing the Bucks in the finals with Brook Lopez, there's not going to be a lot of stretch fives out there. But this was a situation where he just got torched. He got absolutely torched on the defensive end from the three-point line. But he did have a great offensive game. Over his last three games, he's averaging over 23 points and 10 rebounds. So even with his deficiencies, it's starting to balance out to where, at the very least, it's a push. But I think it's even better than that with what he's doing offensively. As I mentioned earlier, KD had a great third quarter. Ended with 12 points. He only went 4-9 from the field, but he was pretty much carrying the team offensively. Him and Damian Lee. Damian Lee went 3-for-4 from three in that in the third for 9 points, and the Warriors actually outscored the Sixers by 15 in the third quarter and was able to get them a three-point lead heading into the fourth. And Steph had a monster fourth, which I'll get to in a second, but one of the bigger things that we saw, which was great to see, is Draymond Green was Draymond Green at his best. I don't think there's another defender in the league who can affect a game the way Draymond does when he's fully locked in. And he was that on Saturday night. He was everywhere. getting defensive rebounds like a beast. I mean, it was him amongst the trees going up, just part of, I mentioned hustle plays and stuff like that. We might not look at certain rebounds as hustle plays, but that's what that was. Just, I want it more than you. He was physical. He was just swarming. He was everywhere. He was as big a part of the win as, you know, Steph's big fourth or KD's big third or Damian Lee coming off the bench, giving them a spark. He was a monster. And it was great to see, and you hope that that can continue. And you hope just the way they were all locked in can continue as we head to the playoffs. But in the fourth, Steph, 11 points. He was 4-for-9 from the field, 1-of-6 from three. And that was the problem. He was settling for a bunch of threes, like a ton of 1-of-6. So that was not ideal. But he did, once he did stop settling and started driving to the hoop, he was making plays. And just in the only way Steph can, you know, 100 dribbles, couple moves, and an acrobatic finish. DeMarcus Cousins had 9 in the fourth. Again, he was able to really show what he's been able to do around the post throughout his entire career. And it was great to see. And you hope it can continue as well. And I think it will. Like I said, over the last three games, he's been great, to over 23 points and 10 rebounds, obviously. Mike Scott would not go away, though. In the fourth, he went 3-of-4 from three. Again, just DeMarcus out of position just about every single time. It was frustrating. I have to make sure I also mention Jordan Bell, who had a solid game as well. He was flying around. It's good to see more and more of that from him now that he's getting the opportunity. He's making the best of it, and he's actually playing well. Had a nice chase down block. It was good to see. It was good to see. In the second half, Warriors outscored the Sixers 65-50. And I'm just laughing because Mike Scott had 20 points in the second half. That's so crazy. That's so ridiculous. And hopefully this is a thing that only will happen in this way, because if Joel Embiid and Marjanovic were healthy, Mike Scott isn't getting these minutes, and he's not getting these minutes matched up against DeMarcus Cousins. So regardless, doesn't matter. Warriors win. The end of the game was just a clusterfuck also between KD splitting free throws at a certain point to where, you know, he can put the game away if he knocks them both down, splits them. We saw that a couple games ago also. The number of reviews, the KD had a moment where, you know, they're double teaming someone. They toss it to KD. He's open for the dunk. TJ McConnell makes a great play, swiping it from him. And they go to review and it's off KD. It just took forever. It was sloppy, ugly, all that stuff. But the Warriors were still able to pull it out and get the win, 120-117. And a pretty big win for these guys with the way they've been playing recently and Klay Thompson being out and all that stuff, to wrap up that road trip and head home. It is the last East Coast road game, I believe, that they play for the rest of the season. So they can put it behind them, move forward, continue to create space for that number one seed, and look towards the playoffs. As I mentioned, Klay Thompson was out for that game. So was Kevon Looney. They both got MRIs. We're going to talk about that coming up next here on Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network. What up, everybody? Welcome back to Locked On Warriors. I'm Charles T. Hamilton. What's good? Just talked about the Sixers game. Warriors get the win. Much needed. I don't know. That's kind of strong, but a good one, a very good win for them. No doubt, especially because they did it without Klay Thompson and without Kevon Looney, who both came back to the Bay and got MRIs, magnetic resonance imaging. Obviously they both came back clean, for the most part. I believe Kevon Looney does have a hip strain, but both guys are going to be day to day. Steve Kerr was actually asked about it, and he had had this to say.
So Klay didn't practice. We'll go through the laundry list here. Klay's questionable for tomorrow. Andre didn't practice. He's questionable. Zoe did practice. He's probable. Looney did not practice. Looney is out.
Okay.
And Looney and Klay both had MRIs. Klay's MRI was clean. Looney's showed pelvic inflammation.
So there it is. Steve Kerr did say a laundry list, and, you know, he's not lying. Clay didn't practice. Andre Iguodala didn't practice. Kevon Looney didn't practice, and Alphonso McKinney did practice. So Alphonso's probable. The other three are questionable. Well, I'm sorry. Actually, Andre and Clay are questionable. Looney is out. So that's a lot of players. We'll see. Clay is always surprising with how fast he gets back to the game, but I would probably imagine he's out versus the Celtics. Same thing with Andre, but again, who knows? I'm not a doctor. Just play one on a podcast. But that game against the Celtics tomorrow is not, I don't know, it's hard to say a big game, but it's not small. The Celtics are still the team that I guess scares me the most, which maybe they shouldn't, because what scares me is just their collection of talent. But that talent hasn't been able to mesh well at all. So maybe I should be more afraid of the Bucks or someone. But still, it's still the Celtics just because of the players they have, the collection of talent they have on that team. Because if for some reason they can get it together between now and the playoffs or during the playoffs, I mean, who knows, the talent on that team would be definitely the front runner in the East and the front runner of, and probably the top team you'd pick to challenge the Warriors. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. We'll see who's healthy, who plays, who doesn't, etc. Going to take one more break, come back, break down the situation with the Warriors' 15th roster spot, potentially a familiar face rejoining them, and why it still allows them to be flexible moving forward. This is Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network. What up, everybody? Welcome back to Locked On Warriors. Charles T. Hamilton, what's up? Just went over some of the injury report for tomorrow's game. Who's going to be out? Clay, Andre, Iguodala are questionable. Looney is out, and Alphonso is probable. Going by first name basis now, Alphonso McKinney is probable. So some news broke today, or technically yesterday, I guess, with an update today. The Warriors are likely going to sign former Golden State Warrior and 2015 NBA champion Andrew Bogut, who was also the MVP and Defensive Player of the Year in the Sydney League, I believe it was. It was the Sydney Kings. I think it was the Australian Basketball League. Something like that. But basically what it came down to is, first off, the fact Robin Lopez was not bought out in Chicago, which I don't have the full story, but if, look, I respect pettiness. I'm all for pettiness. I major respect for it. And I think the Bulls did not want to buy out Robin Lopez and send him to the Dubs and have him be a contributor on a championship team because of the heat they took for trading Jordan Bell there, which, by the way, I mean, got overblown last year, and especially this year, it's like, whatever. Jordan Bell's a okay player, but definitely not as good as people thought he was last year. Whatever. So I respect pettiness, but I'll say on a human level, and again, I don't have all the story, so maybe Robin Lopez changes his mind. Maybe he's like, you know what, I'm fine in Chicago for a couple months. You know, I'll sign with the Warriors in the offseason or something. But with them not buying him out, I respect the pettiness towards the Warriors, but man, if Robin Lopez wanted out and they refused to do it, that's messed up, you know? And not just because he wants to go somewhere else, but like kind of costing him the opportunity at a championship this year, like a real opportunity. I think we all are kind of on the same page that the Warriors are the front runners, not just to make it to the finals, but to win. So I don't know, mixed emotions of respecting the pettiness, but also on a human level, like that's messed up that you couldn't, you know, let Robin Lopez go try and win a ring. But again, I don't know what the story is. Maybe it was mutual that they both decided, you know, I'll stick around for a couple more months. But anyways, because of the fact Robin Lopez was not bought out, because of the fact that there weren't any wings willing to come to the Warriors, as I mentioned, I forget where Wayne Ellington went. Did he go to Detroit? And Wes Matthews deciding to go to the Pacers, both opting for better opportunities for as far as playing time is concerned. And Wes Matthews to Pacers has worked out great. Pacers are still the 3 seed. I know people won't believe it. Like, I check the standings every single day because it's like, oh, yeah, the Pacers, good for them. They're still playing well. Like, what are they, the 6 seed or something? Still in the playoff hunt? No, they've maintained the 3 seed even after Oladipo went out. Pacers are a good team, man. They are a damn good team. They're 41-23. They're half a game ahead of the Sixers. If this sticks, man, we can get Sixers-Celtics in that first round 4-5 matchup. Anyways, moving on. Because of the fact none of these wings would sign with Golden State, they need a center. And they were hoping it would be Robin Lopez. As I said, he did not get bought out, which sucks. Would love to have him around. I wouldn't be surprised if he's a Warrior next season. But now they're stuck looking for a wing or a center who can come in and play, who can come and give them something. We all know Bogut's background as a defensive player. He averaged just under 3 blocks in the Australian League, and maybe that doesn't mean anything to you guys. But just look at his history in the NBA. And one of the things the Warriors sent out scouts or personnel or whatever you want to call it to basically scout Bogut in Australia, and one of the things they noticed was he slimmed down. The shorter season in Australia has really helped him, and they feel confident that he can come in and contribute. He's a different center than what the Warriors have. Jordan Bell and Kevon Looney are very solid in today's switching, you know, perimeter guarding NBA, where they're going to have to get out there and, you know, switch on to Chris Paul or James Harden or whoever. But they're still lacking some defense. They're lacking rim protection. First off, they haven't really had it since they lost Bogut, got rid of Bogut to sign KD. They even with JaVale, look, you guys, people saying JaVale's a rim protector. He gets blocks, but there's a difference between getting blocks and protecting the rim. Bogut is a rim protector, and he's also got size, which the Warriors need. That was one of the appealing aspects of Robin Lopez, is just he's a massive body that you can put up against Joel Embiid, potentially in the finals, but even in the West, Steven Adams, Nikola Jokic, Clint Capella, Nurkic, and now they have Cantor in Portland as well. Gobert and Favors, you know, they're size throughout the Western Conference and in the East. So to get a guy like Bogut potentially could help, obviously, with his size, his vertical spacing. I know he's not JaVale or Damian Jones at that, but he's the best vertical spacer they'll have on that team, basically, at least at the 5 spot. So it's something that could work out, and also it's something that couldn't work out. Everything's on the table until, what is it, April 1st, I think, is the deadline for playoffs. Now, the most recent deadline was the buyout deadline, was a player had to be waived or bought out by the end of March 1st. So anyone that's waived or bought out between now and then isn't playoff eligible. But Damian Lee, if they decide they need him more than, say, Bogut, or if Bogut works out but they still need a wing who can shoot, and Alfonso or Cook or Jarebko still isn't working out, you know, they'll have to cut someone, but they still remain flexible with this roster, as long as Lacob's willing to spend the money, and as we all know, he sure is. So that'll be interesting to see. He still has to go through the, I don't know if it's a buyout process, whatever process he has to go through with the Australian League to get cleared and then come to the Warriors, should take about a week or so. So we probably won't see him for a solid 5 games, something like that. But it'll be interesting to see when he gets back, man. And even though he left the Warriors not super happy with him, he still has remained friends with, you know, Andre, maybe Sean, but just the main guys, Steph, Clay, they're all buds. They're all fine. So shouldn't be a problem reintegrating him into the locker room. And hell, if he can give him something on the court, like that's a win for Bob Myers, because I have been critical of some of his handling of the roster this year. Jacob Evans has played like 10 minutes. Does not look like an NBA player. The whole 15th roster spot, the Pat McCaw situation, it's been bad. It's honestly been bad. So if he can salvage something with Andrew Bogut, if Andrew Bogut can come in and give him something, it would definitely help to, I don't know, salvage Bob Myers' handling of the roster this year. Moving on to league pass picks for tonight, 7 games and a couple of good ones. I'm going to go with the Lakers and Clippers, by the way. I wanted to get to the Lakers today. I guess I'll save it for tomorrow. hopefully after another loss, because my pick for them to miss the playoffs is looking better and better by the day. But, you know, I only gloat about the stuff I'm right about because I'm wrong about like 90% of, I mean, 90 is strong, probably like 99% of everything else. So anyways, I'll hang on to that one forever. But Clippers, Lakers, Lakers are struggling. Clippers are looking good. Landry Shamet is a legit sharpshooter. We got Denver and San Antonio. As I've said, Denver is only a game and a half behind the Warriors. San Antonio is clinging to that 8 seed. They still have 3 games on the Kings and I think 4.5 on the Lakers. So they're good. Still have some space, but still need to wrap this thing up. And then here's one that casual fans probably would roll their eyes at, but Dallas and Brooklyn, man. Dallas is struggling, obviously, since they got rid of, you know, Wesley Matthews, DeAndre Jordan, etc. Since they traded for a guy who's not going to play this year, but they still have Luka, who is exciting. They still have some exciting pieces. And then Brooklyn, man, Brooklyn's a playoff team. Brooklyn's going to be in the playoffs, and they're going to be a hard out for anyone they play against. So there's 3 picks for tonight. Clippers, Lakers, Nuggets, Spurs, and Mavs, Nets. Thank you guys so much for listening. I'll be back tomorrow with another episode of Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network.
You can't climb a mountain if it's smooth, right? You got to go over the rough spots. Peace.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily podcast on the Golden State Warriors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.